Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am super, super excited for today's conversation. Today, I am joined by Terry Welbrock, and welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and, yes, talk all the goodness that can come out of once we get through the survival part and into the thriving part after trauma.
Yes. Yes, we are all about moving from trauma into triumph, turning your pain into your purpose. So let's dive right in. And can you share with our audience a little bit of your story and how you came to be where you are now?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So I tell people when I give presentations or speak to audiences that I like to give the trauma facts beforehand because it really paints the picture of what I went through and then move into the happy and hope part of it of when I stepped onto the healing path. So when I was 4 years old, an intoxicated parent attempted to drown me and my one-year-old sister in a bathtub. When I was five, I was sexually molested for the first time by a 16-year-old neighbor. When I was nine, I was sexually molested by a 19-year-old neighbor when my mom sent me to borrow a can of soup. Repeatedly molested by my choir director when I was 10. And also during those first 10 years of life, my dad was physically abusive until he sat me on his lap when I was 10 and said, "Terry, you know, I've been seeing a counselor. And I realize now I was taking my frustration with your mom's drinking out on you girls. I never should have hit you and I'll never hit you again." And he stopped. When I was 14, I was sexually accosted by a religious education director when I worked in the rectory for the priests in our parish. 16, I lost my virginity to date rape. Later that same year, I was attacked by a gang in downtown Cincinnati where I lived. And sexually accosted. One of the police officers involved in that investigation asked my parents if he could take me out to dinner to celebrate. There were 49 out of 50 convictions for the gang members that were attacking people that night. And my parents were like, "Sure, he's a police officer." But he did not take me back take me out to dinner. He took me back to his apartment where he attempted to rape me. When I was 21, I was involved in a bank robbery where a gun was held to my head and my coworker was stabbed three times with a hunting knife. They did not catch them, and I moved to our main office. And 3 months later, those same bank robbers would return to our main office where I had just moved and rob us again, only this time the perpetrator that had held the gun to my head pulled the trigger and murdered my coworker. I had run from the back of the bank and came face to face with a second armed assailant who's pulled his trigger on his Luger, but the gun misfired and my life was yet again spared. So those were my first 22 years of very horrific trauma.
Oh my heavens.
I know. Everybody says, "Are you writing a book?" And I'm like, "Yes, I've been writing a book for the past 10 years. It's been a slow process. But yes, it is. It is in the works." And so I really just obviously struggled with horrific trauma. And now that I understand ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, how mm-hmm. that, what I call it, stored negative energy, mm-hmm. my body, particularly from my childhood years, didn't know how to process all that trauma that was happening. Mm-hmm. And so it started to surface in these severe panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And I battled it for the next 25 years. It was on medications and not medications and tried different therapies. But just nothing was working. And then in 2013, I finally decided I just couldn't live this way anymore and sought therapy. And she was the one that said, Terry, have you ever considered EMDR therapy? And I said, what the heck is EMDR therapy? And it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, for those of you who don't know. And I did that and spent the next 4 years diving back into those traumas and processing all of that trauma that was stuck inside my body and having such a severe impact. And now I don't have panic attacks. And I've done a lot of other modalities and work since that we can talk about, but it's just, I like to tell people that no matter what you've been through, you can reach this place of living a life filled with joy and tranquility, mm-hmm. Regardless of that, the horrors that you've lived through.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hearing the facts of it all, your ACE score was probably higher than mine.
Yeah, sadly. I say it's an 8, you know, black and white. Mm-hmm. The bank robberies were, I was 21 and then had a little birthday between and then 22. But I still count those as the aces. I mean, they're great. And then my, you know, one of the ACE questions is, was your mom ever physically, you know, abusive? But no, my mom tried to kill my dad with a butcher knife. And I mean, my mom was physically, she was the one in her drunken rages that would be abusive to my dad physically. So I still count that because mm-hmm. it's still an ACE score. So I say 10, which is crazy when you count those two in as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you did EMDR therapy. What was that process like for you?
Oh gosh. You know, that's so funny. I was talking to somebody today. We were having a conversation about trauma recovery and she's early in her recovery process. And I said, it was one of the most difficult things I had ever done because truly mm-hmm. it was returning to the darkness. Mm-hmm. But I also tell folks, it was so worth it. Every mm-hmm. time I left that office sobbing, I knew that I had just done a little bit more healing. There was a little bit more relief, a little bit more hope. And mm-hmm. so being able, and that's why I kept going back every week. I mean, I did 98 sessions over 4 years with this particular EMDR therapist. And it was so worth it. And at the time, which is crazy, I had severe driving phobias. Mm-hmm. And she lived, a good 30, 35 minutes from my home. And I had to go under highways and busy intersections. But I made myself get in my car and drive to her every week or, you know, sometimes every other week because I knew we were making progress. And mm-hmm. so the process itself, you can look at a light bar. And what happens is, just to backtrack a little. So Dr. Shapiro realized, I guess the founder of EMDR realized when she was talking with soldiers who had returned from war, that while they were recalling moments of just severe distress, their eyes were moving similar to when we sleep in REM sleep and dream mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. And so she decided, what if I take those people back to those moments purposefully to have their eyes go back and forth, to almost take them into that just a deeply meditative state, really. Mm-hmm. And so what would happen, I couldn't watch the light bar because I was too distracted peripherally. So I held on to little vibration paddles in my hands that would alternate left and right in my palms. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, my eyes just started naturally going back and forth and back and forth. So then when we would go back into a particular trauma, I was able to recall body memories. So what my body might have been, what my body was storing, you know, sensations that were arising, what mm-hmm. thoughts might have been arising. And we were able to, I was able to process things by what did you want to do in that situation? How did you mm-hmm. want to get out of it? And so again, being able to paint the picture differently in my mm-hmm. memory of if I could have handled it instead of freezing, would I have fought? Would I have, you know, what were the would haves? And so that was, to me, empowering. And so I walked away again from those sessions feeling very empowered. And one really quick story I have to share. So a lot of times, well, gosh, all the time, very early on in the sessions, it was as if I was standing outside my body watching a movie, mm-hmm. watching this happen to a little girl. And so that was the first time the idea of dissociating had come across my path, that someone had said to me, well, you know, you dissociated. And I was like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And so I had disconnected from it while it was occurring to me. And so I remember probably about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years into our sessions, that I just started sob crying. We went into the second bank robbery and she brought me, you know, back out of it and said, what's going on? What are you noticing? And I said, for the first time, when I went back there to that particular moment in time, that trauma, I turned my head to see the bank robber running very close to me and pointing his gun at me. But I was looking through my own eyes. And that, it still gets me choked up, because that was the moment I realized, oh my gosh, I am okay being back in my body again. And so that was a shift moment for me. I was able to be back in that trauma memory, yet stay connected to the now in my body. And so that moment helped me realize, oh, wait a minute, I can do this. I can live inside me and experience stressful situations or traumatic moments and survive it and still be okay and still be grounded. So I hope that makes sense.
That makes so much sense. Because I think for me personally, when it comes to advocating for myself and that conflict, the potential conflict, it does feel like I'm outside of my body. So that's interesting to me, the process that you went through to be okay to stay connected, to stay in your body, and the transition that occurred. So let's backtrack a little bit. How long did it take for you to be okay with the process of EMDR? Because I know for a lot of trauma survivors, their fear is reliving the trauma. That's what holds them back from healing, is they don't want to feel those feelings again. But in order for us to heal, we have to work through the stuff that's stuck. So what was that decision like?
Yes, I think a number of factors came into play. At the time, my undergrad was in psychology. I had actually gone back to school. This was long before EMDR, in that 25-year window of living mm-hmm. through panic attacks and being married and having kids and so forth, that I went back to school, got my degree in psychology because I was fascinated. I was fascinated by the psychology of it, right? Mm-hmm. Trauma really wasn't on the surface yet back in the 90s. And so we were talking about it, but in a kind of a roundabout way, not like mm-hmm. directly talking about trauma. I mean, maybe child abuse. I remember taking a child abuse class. So I was working in a mental health agency with kids in the school systems. And I was working with kids who were living in abusive homes or maybe experiencing bullying in the classroom or having some anxiety issues. And so I was doing YouTube videos directed at kids with yoga, and we would do yoga in the gym together, or we would do some drawing and draw things out and art therapy. We were doing different types of ways of helping kiddos. And so while I was doing this EMDR, I was also working this job, And I realized, oh, wait a minute, this stuff is helping me. So I was helping these kids build a coping skills toolbox. And I realized, oh, I need to start utilizing a lot of this stuff and learning more about all of this for myself to start building my coping skills toolbox. And so those two things kind of went hand in hand. So I think having these other modalities of healing in place helped me along the EMDR part of it early on, because yes, it was incredibly difficult. And yes, I was exhausted on Wednesdays because I had my sessions on Tuesdays. And I just remember being just so wiped. Yes, being able to start utilizing breath work. And even though I struggled with breath work early on because I didn't like being in my body and focusing on breathing. So that was one thing. And then my therapist said something to me that was so profound. And it was about just notice, just notice. And I also had read a book, because I was starting to dive into books about trauma recovery. It all was like, I was just like, oh, I want to absorb as much information. And one of the books said, be gentle with yourself. Those two things were truly the most powerful little tidbits of information that I could have taken on during those early days. Because when she said, be gentle, or when I read the words, be gentle with yourself, I'm sorry, in one of those trauma recovery books, I just remember taking a step back and thinking, be gentle with myself. I've always been so hard on myself when I would have a panic attack. Terry, you're so smart. You can talk yourself out of this. No, now that we understand ACEs science and trauma science, you cannot. You cannot talk yourself out of a panic attack. It's just not the way it works. So, and then the just noticing. And again, that was another part of that. Oh, I am not this scary feeling. That's not me. That's a thought. That's a memory. That is something that's just surfacing. And so if I can just take a step back from it and just notice it, put my hand on it, feel it, allow it. Wow. Did that change, again, everything on how I had been approaching my trauma? I thought I had had these horrible things happen to me. I was broken forever. And that was just the way it was going to be. Later on down the road, I learned about brain plasticity and brain, you know, rewiring our neural pathways, and realized, oh, all of this, the releasing, the putting in grounding strategies, mindfulness, all of these things I started to utilize and bring in was helping me rewire how I was responding.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Your trauma was no longer defining you.
Right.
And that is so powerful when you realize that you are not your trauma. Man, that's taking your power back in a massive way.
Yeah, I tell you what, and it's always a work in progress, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I will never say I'm healed, but I don't look at that as a bad thing anymore, because I look at it as, oh, what's going to come across my radar next? Like, what am I going to learn now? What can I bring in now to build up this toolbox even bigger? And I was, I don't know, scrolling through reels on Facebook one evening or doing something. I'm not a big TikTok person, but it's maybe a TikTok came across or something. And it was, I cannot give credit, so I don't know. I'm not stealing this from anyone. I'm just talking about its impact on me. But it was a dad talking to his son and saying, here's what I want you to do. And I'm guessing he must be a therapist of some sort or a healer of some sort. And he said, when you feel this way again, to his child, I want you to snap your fingers three times and say, I am not my thoughts. I am not my thoughts. And do it three times. And it's a very quick grounding technique, but I started utilizing that. I had to fly by myself recently, and I'm not a big fan of flying, but I did it for an unfortunate funeral for my nephew. And as I sat on that plane and I was doing all my stuff, right? I'm doing all my breath work and I'm coloring in my with my gel pens and my little Zen coloring book, and I'm doing all my things to keep my body calm. I could feel it surfacing. I could feel mm-hmm. the anxiety and the, mm-hmm. the what ifs. What if you have a panic attack? What if you go crazy? People are going to think you're crazy if you start sobbing on the plane. Blah, 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 blah. And I just, the lady next to me, I said, I need to do something real quick. And I was like, you are not your thoughts. And I just did it. And man, it instantly dissipated. And I was right back to, okay, I'm good. So you're right. I love what you just said. I mean, it's very empowering.
It's hugely empowering. So what has the transition been since, how has your life changed since EMDR?
Ooh, it's such a good question. Yeah. So after I paused EMDR, I was doing so much better, no more panic. Still had some issues with driving. Don't like to drive on highways. Not a fan. Not a fan of bridges. It's a being trapped in an open space. It goes back to that second bank robbery still. So again, excuse me, got the hiccup all of a sudden. So again, doing work on it. I've been doing some somatic work on it, one thing I wanted to go back to that you had talked about, going back in EMDR, going back into the traumas, there are other modalities such mm-hmm. as somatic work where you don't have to, or tapping. Yeah, I've done some tapping EFT work where you don't necessarily have to go back to the moment or even know, there can be traumatic events from birth or mm-hmm. infancy that we don't know quite what happened, but we know something happened because we just know intuitively. But we can do release work on mm-hmm. that through EFT / tapping or somatic healing or whatever other modalities there are. I just found for me personally, EMDR was very, very powerful for going back in. So I just wanted to add that little PS to what we said. And now I forgot what question I was answering for you. Sorry about that.
How has your life changed since you've done the EMDR therapy?
Oh yeah. So EMDR, once I paused that and continued on with life, again, working in that mental health agency, one of my friends who was in her 20s in the therapist, and I was in my late 40s, maybe 50, said, Terry, we totally need to start a podcast. And I was like, awesome. What's a podcast? Because I had never listened to a podcast. And so we started the Healing Place podcast. And I realized, or she received another job offer at a hospital and was doing her private practice as well. So she didn't have the time to devote to it. So I said, I think I really want to keep going with this, and started to reach out to people in the trauma recovery arena. This was before the days of PodMatch, and had some really great and insightful, wise trauma experts come on to my show. And I learned so much from them, as well mm-hmm. as putting these messages out into the world. And it just started to really blossom and take on a life of its own. And again, as I kept going down my own healing journey and wanting to share it with others, I found that, oh my gosh, I'm living this life filled with joy and peace. And I don't have all of these horrible memories and body sensations and all of the things that I had been battling and dealing with for so long. And I realized, oh, we can heal from this. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous journey. We can change our habitual patterns in the way mm-hmm. we respond. So instead of saying, oh my gosh, it's a bridge. Oh my gosh, it's a bridge. Oh my gosh, it's a bridge. And getting myself into an uproar, shifting my mindset and living my life from a place of, okay, there's a bridge coming up. No big deal. I'm just, let's see where it arises in the body. Let's pay attention to that. Let's be gentle with it. And just again, talking to myself differently, responding to it differently, and allowing it. Allowing mm-hmm. it. Huge. instead of fighting it, because it needed to come out. It was trying to get my attention and say, hey, there's still some more in here. I'm just gonna surface. But because I had shifted my mindset, it was instead of hating it and it was the enemy, I was befriending it and saying, okay, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn from you? So that, again, huge, huge shift. And I just started living my life from that mindset, and living a life filled with gratitude, of really being truly thankful for whatever gifts were presenting themselves to me.
Yeah, that's huge. Gratitude is more powerful than a lot of people realize. Gratitude is huge.
100%. Yes. Yeah. I have a story about that. I always have stories. So just tell me, I'll just keep going. Blah, blah, blah. So when we moved from Ohio to South Carolina, we moved to Hilton Head Island. We had been vacationed here for 20 years, brought our kids down here. Absolutely loved it. Always said, we're going to retire on Hilton Head. Our daughter was in eighth grade. And I said, hey, kiddo, where do you think you want to go to high school? Because she was at a little Catholic school in Ohio. And all her friends were kind of scattering to different, you know, some private, some public. And she said, I think I want to go to Hilton Head. And it was the beginning of the pandemic. And we were like, well, we're both working from home. We can look and see if we can make that happen. Sold our house in under 24 hours, found this house. And so anyway, moved to this beautiful house. Like, I was in a really great space on my own healing journey, really feeling good about myself physically, no medications, like everything was good. Within 6 months of moving into this beautiful home, I became very, very ill and started crying to my family. I feel like I've been poisoned. I feel like I've been poisoned. I know I sound crazy. I don't know. I can't explain it. Western meds, you know, doctors couldn't help me. I was seeing specialists, my throat was closing up. I had a rash covering my body. I lost 58 pounds within a few weeks. All my labs were completely out of whack. My cholesterol, my vitamin D levels, my electrolytes, everything was just crazy. My body was just shutting down. And I, by the grace of God, ended up in front of a nutritionist who was very holistic leaning. And she said, Terry, I think you have mycotoxin poisoning from mold exposure. You should probably test your house. And I was like, mold? Our house is gorgeous. It was just rehabbed. And she said, why did they rehab it? And it was one of those aha moments where I was like, oh my gosh. And so, long story short, I dove deep into the research, found out the house had been condemned for toxic mold, and the sellers lied on the disclosure and did not tell us. So it was, we brought in remediation teams. It was in our ductwork. It was in our, under the flooring, behind the walls. And I was the canary in the coal mine. I was the one who had lived my life with this state of hypervigilance for so long that my immune system was weakened. And I was just living weakened, and I didn't know it until that thing came along to take my feet out from under me and yank that rug out from under me. And so once I realized, oh, okay, now this is going on, but here's the whole point of me telling the story. Because I had shifted my entire mindset about things, did I have moments of crying my eyes out and woe is me? Of course, natural human emotion. But I also realized, okay, what is the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, trying to teach me? So this was like my final hurrah, I guess, in the trauma recovery arena. I hadn't been through a physical ailment yet to this magnitude. And so I started to ask, what can I learn from this? How can I use this to benefit? How can I turn my pain into purpose? How can I help others? And so, again, it was just a shift. Instead of allowing it to destroy me, I started to utilize everything I had learned to help myself, and which I'll then use to help others. And so now I can say all of my labs are back in the normal range. Our house is remediated. We decided to stay in it. We had the house blessed. We found out the reason the mold had been here. A man had died in it and no one knew. He was a recluse. We did prayer work and energy healing work with him, you know, his spirit and energy and releasing it. And so now we live in this beautiful home and I'm recovered other than the rash that I'm still working through. But again, there's still lessons to be learned. So there's my very long answer to your question.
Yeah, trust your body. Trust your body because it's got you. Sometimes it might feel like it's working against you, but it really just wants to survive.
I mean, think about it. If my body hadn't started screaming at me, and I mean screaming at me, we never would have known. We were mm-hmm. living in this and breathing this in. You know, our dogs were starting to experience some issues, like pooping and vomiting blood. And we were like taking them to the vet and what is going on with them. And, oh, it's just allergies switching from Ohio weather to South Carolina, you know. And then we realized, oh, no, the dogs were their bodies were screaming, too. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, we'd have just been breathing it in from the ductwork and living in it if my body. So really, I'm grateful to my body for being like, wait, hold, and waving its arms and screaming, stop. So yeah, you're right. Listen to your body.
Yeah. So I find that your trauma never caused any physical issues in those 22 years?
No, isn't that crazy?
That is
right.
Isn't that so crazy? Amazing.
I know. My sister and I talk about this because neither of us ended up being addicts of any way, like mm-hmm. drugs or alcohol. Like I steered so clear of that, even though addiction was very rampant with my mom, and realized, you know, her father, and it had been a very generational ancestral thing. And so I never steered down the addiction road myself. Yes, I drank heavily in high school as an escape, but that stopped again once I got married and had kids and realized, oh wait, I need to be a responsible adult and take care of these little humans. And so I never had any issues. I would go to the hospital thinking I was having a heart attack because I didn't understand at the time. Oh, wait. And then I would be told, oh no, it's all in your head. Those were panic attacks. And so why is my heart racing? Why am I sweating profusely? Why am I having tunnel vision? Again, that was so early on in those 80s and 90s that it still wasn't being addressed with patients to say, oh, let me hold your hand and explain to you what's happening with your body, because trauma science just hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, that's amazing that you never experienced anything other than the anxiety.
Right. Yeah, I think when I got so sick, my body was just everything just went like, we've been trying to hold on for so long for you, Terry, and now we just can't do it anymore. And we're just gonna, everything's gonna go haywire all at once. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
That was it. Yes.
So what are your three biggest tips that you can give a mama who is early on her journey?
Well, I think I said two of them, and I'm going to emphasize them again because they are so, so, so important. One, be gentle with yourself. I end every one of my episodes on my show, until next time, be gentle with yourself. That to me is so critical. Please don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, my empath heart just like tears up thinking about it. You are so worthy of your own love, your own kindness, your own compassion. Like, how would you treat your child if they were feeling the way you're feeling? How would you treat, you know, a stranger on the street if you saw them feeling the way you're feeling? And just be gentle. The other thing was the just notice. And if mm-hmm. you can start to I don't want to say train yourself, but really it is. It's a rewiring and changing those habitual patterns of how you respond, of just being able to notice instead of reacting like, oh, I'm feeling this sensation, or oh, I'm feeling this overwhelmed, to really just be able to pause and take a moment to step back from it, not really dissociate because you're still staying present with it, but just take a step back from it and say, okay, I'm feeling this. Where is this really coming from? My kid is crying, won't stop, or screaming in the grocery store, and I'm just feeling this guttural response to it. But what am I really experiencing? Is it the lack of control? Is it, you know, and did I not sleep well last night? Am I just exhausted? What is it that's really going on? Because then we can take some steps to just approach it more kindly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the third thing would be to start creating your coping skills toolbox. And it doesn't have to be the size of mine, which is ginormous, because I started with just one thing. I started with just that, you know, just bringing in something and trying it. I did yoga for a while and I had fun doing it because I had a great practitioner, but then that practitioner stopped. So I went to a different practitioner and ended up having what brought upon a panic attack, but just severe sensations overwhelmed me. And then I decided, oh, I don't want to do yoga anymore. It's still in my box and I'll probably go back to it. But for now, it's just not on my radar. So bring things in. You may like some things, you may not like some things. Some may work some days, some may not work some days, but just start learning about all of these amazing tools. Ho'oponopono Hawaiian healing is one of my favorites. It's a forgiveness prayer. I utilize it, sometimes daily. Again, grounding work, mindfulness, meditation, nature baths. There's so much goodness. There's so much healing stuff available out there. So there you go.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Terry. How can our audience connect with you further if they'd like to do that?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, it's terriwellbrock.com. So it's T-E-R-I, it's just one R, W-E-L-L, the letter B. And then I always feel like I need to be like R-O-C-K, do my rock symbol. So terriwellbrock.com. And there's all kinds of awesome information there. There's a free gift if you sign up for my monthly newsletter that you can get. And it's a little coping skills tool guide. It teaches you some of these things I've been talking about. So and you can download that.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Until next time, friends.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.